The Die Hard Eagles podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by MyBookie.ag. Winning season is back at MyBookie, and they're now offering a 100% deposit bonus when you use the promo code SGP. That's MyBookie.ag, promo code SGP to play, win, and get paid. We're also brought to you by the leaders in daily fantasy, DraftKings. For a limited time, new users can get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes this week. Don't miss out on the week three action. Enter code SGP to get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes with your first deposit. That's code SGP only at DraftKings. We're also brought to you by BetQL. Want to get an advantage over the sportsbook with NBA, NHL, college football, MLB, and the NFL back in action? You need to download BetQL, the only app you'll need to make smart bets this season. Head to BetQL.co and enter code SGP20 for 20% off your first subscription. That's BetQL.co, promo code SGP20. We're also brought to you by Ace Per Head. Ace is the leader in pay per head providers, and they make it super easy to start your own sportsbook. Plus, Ace is offering up to 6 weeks free over at aceperhead.com/SGP. That's aceperhead.com/SGP. Welcome everyone to the Die Hard Eagles podcast. I'm Sean, stacking the money green with my two Eagle friends here. Justin, what's up, man?
How's it going, Sean?
Joining us also, of course, Rob, what's happening?
Hey, what's up, guys? Everything's great, right? Nothing wrong.
And we're off to a sweet 0-2 start to the Eagle season. Completely catastrophic. We were going through the whole pandemic. Of course, all the COVID truthers were saying cancel everything. You can never leave your house again. And, you know, football was there just as the carrot dangling, waiting like, hey, we'll get the football. It'll be okay. The NFL told everyone to fuck off. We're going to have a season. They have a season. And then we come out of the gates looking like complete dog shit. Justin, what's the worst part so far of the 0-2 season?
I don't know. Such a loaded question. And I guess the obvious answer is that it's 0-2. And just that we don't look like a team. There's just not even on the field issues suck. It just seems like the off the field stuff is bothersome as well. Unlike any other year, you know, it started off with like, you know, not even started off with Peters. I mean, it started off with the injuries like always. So that's normal. But then, you know, the whole Peters thing, not being willing to move over to left tackle. That was a big issue. I feel like that's in-house that you didn't see from this team in the past. The Ertz contract, now it seems like he's getting a little whiny. You know, there's all this just little stuff in-house, it seems. I don't know how they're going to get it together, but I could talk forever. I'll just stop.
I like that. Cutting off your own rambling. Rob, what sticks out as a true like thorn in the side of this 0-2 season?
Look, we'll go there in a second, but I need to first just address the elephant in the room. You know, I know the answer for myself, but for you guys, have either of you played in the NFL or specifically played quarterback in the NFL?
Yes, I have.
Well, Sean, I know you played high school football. I don't think that qualifies, but look, I just want to get it out there. I don't even know if we're qualified to make observations about the team, according to Doug. You know, if you haven't played a QB level in the NFL, you can't make observations. So, you know, with that stated, you know, everything has me worried. Everything from the coaching to the construction of the team. The defense was a mess last game. Carson's just regressing, and you know, quite honestly, isn't taking it seriously. He's not taking coaching. We now have more injuries. Rager's out. As Justin said, Ertz is sulking. You know, the question is, what are the positives? And quite honestly, right now, I have no idea.
Yeah, it's tough even to find the positives. Potential positive was Rager. He's shown a couple flashes, optimistic about his potential, but then of course comes down with the thumb injury. And Rob, of course, referencing in the press conference where Jimmy Kemsky asked Doug why Carson is missing layups, and then Doug gets all defensive and says like, "Well, you there's no layups in the NFL. What are you've never played in the league?" And that would have been great if he asked him like, "Have you ever played?" And he said, "Yes." Like, yeah, why did it? Why did that never come up? I was actually third string quarterback in Cincinnati, and just to see Doug's reaction. Yeah, no, this team has lost games before, but the mojo, the overall juice, the mojo is the sourest I've seen it in a long time. I think going back to when they got their ass kicked in Cincinnati of Carson's rookie year, this was the last time I felt like things were really kind of coming apart at the seams. And that Bengals game, at least the offense was going up and down the field, and you could at least hold on to the fact of like, well, it's Carson Wentz in his rookie year, Doug Peterson, first year head coach. Now there's no sort of built-in excuses, and coming to built-in excuses, some other podcast pointed this out, and it's been driving me crazy as well. But Doug Peterson, when he's being grilled, he starts going into this thing of like, well, you know, we didn't have an off season and we didn't have enough practice time. It's like, dude, what are you talking about? None of the other 31 teams have had off season or practice time. And the fact that you are the same quarterback and the same head coach, you know, there's no reason that you guys should be behind. You know what I mean? Like, that should be a reason why we're succeeding, is that we have, you know, continuity.
His defensiveness and the way he's responding like that just makes me think he's lost. It's infuriating to me to listen to. It just seems like he has no answers. And when you start to get criticism, when you get defensive, you're just deflecting because you really don't know what else to say or you don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And he needs a game plan or something to tell us like why or how things are going to be better. But everything, there's no transparency now either, which makes it even worse.
Well, you think one of those 12 assistants on the offensive side of the ball, one of them could come up with a goddamn game plan. And maybe that's why Doug P brought in all these people to just create this, like, you know, basically he can have someone to throw under the bus here when things really start going bad. And to me, as far as like placing blame in particular on this Rams game and for the seasons overall, I'll kick things off. To me, it really is Doug's fault. Now, Carson Wentz certainly deserves a lot of criticism and he's been getting it. But to me, you know, Carson not taking coaching, that's on the coach. Like, the whole thing that's appealing about Doug P as a former quarterback, as a former player, like the one thing that really stands out is like, well, you know, the guys really play for him. They really respond to him. Carson Wentz isn't responding. Like, that's why you're getting paid whatever he's getting, you know, $5 million a year, is so that you can coach Carson up. And if he's not taking coaching, put, you know, take him behind the room or, you know, take him into the back room and explain to him that he has to take the coaching. Like, you have to be hard on Wentz. You have to be hard on all these guys. Sometimes it's easy to just be the coach's guy. And to his credit, like, he does take bullets for the players and they seem to respond to that. But at some point he needs to be a hard ass. And I don't know if we've seen that from him, Rob. What other, like, what's one thing that's really driving the negativity and the, just the poor play overall?
Well, I mean, as much as I want to say everything, it does start with Doug. I can't disagree with you, but I really see it as Doug Carson. I see him as one and the same. They just don't seem to be on the same page. You know, I've heard some people this week talk about how, like, you know, Doug and Nick just seem to really mesh in their styles, and like Doug seems so much more comfortable calling plays for Nick Foles. And quite honestly, now watching this for 2 years, there may be some truth to that. It just seems like he's unable to play to Carson's strengths, and with that game plan, Carson is regressing and making terrible mistakes, and that's on him. But you know, it's hard to separate those two. I think they go, you know, hand in hand.
Yeah. Justin, anything we haven't hit on as far as who we're super pissed off at?
I'm just going to take a little bit of a detour and blame most of it on Carson. I mean, if you're going to consider yourself elite, which I used to consider Carson to be elite, I feel like you got to be able to, you know, put this team on your back. I'm not a big Aaron Rodgers fan, so to speak, but you know, he's been there for his team members. He's gotten them out of some pretty bad jams, and he's had bad games, but you know, he's bounced back. And Carson to have two back-to-back, just, I mean, you could call the first game, the first half of the first game, pretty good until up to the interception, but he's got to be able to get it together. And I know coaching is an issue, and part of that though is on Carson, or a lot of that actually is on Carson. I mean, he's at this point, he should be able to make those layups, so to speak.
There's no such thing as layups, Justin.
And to miss, you know, one might be an issue, but he's missing multiple. So I'm going to put most of the blame on Carson right now. He's got to fix it.
Yeah. And I mean, we haven't even gotten to the defense, which looked completely horrible. All right. While we're throwing everyone under the bus, I think it's worth it to talk about Howie. Rob, in your mind, Howie or Doug, who is the seat hotter for right now? It feels like everyone's amped up and pissed off at Doug, but is Howie escaping some of the blame for this roster and how the team's performing?
You know, I think he is. I think he's escaping some blame. He's clearly made some big draft blunders over the past couple of years. I mean, you know, Whiteside instead of Metcalf, and
God,
you know, should he have traded up and got other guys? But you know, I think when people look at that, they also forget some of the great trades he's pulled off when we fleeced a few other teams too. So he's done some good. He did reconstruct the roster after Chip Kelly very quick. And you know, the reality is most GMs around this league are 50-50 at drafting. It's not easy. It's easy to look at all the misses, but you know, there's plenty of people that don't get it right. And I'm not making excuses for Howie, but the reason I'm saying that is I just think at the end of the day, Doug's on the hotter seat. I think, you know, you're already hearing these rumors about how last off season, you know, Doug was basically forced to shake up his offensive staff. I'm sure that already caused friction between them. And, you know, it just seems like if Doug isn't able to turn Carson into the player he was in 2017, he is going to be on a very, very short lease, because, you know, the franchise has over $100 million invested in him. And if they feel like he's just not, you know, his offense isn't innovative and his offense isn't playing to his strengths, you know, I think he's the one on the hot seat.
Justin, where are you at with our good buddy, Howie Roseman?
Sean, like the question of who's on a hotter seat, Doug or Howie, just annoys the crap out of me, because I don't understand these people who don't like Howie. It doesn't make any sense to me. Doug is obviously on the hotter seat. I mean, Howie has, yes, I know people look at his draft rating and like who he's been able to pick up, but he's, you know, been about average, maybe even a little slightly above average. Like Rob pointed out, you know, he hasn't quite hit the home run, but I guess you could have said up until two games ago, you could have said he had hit a home run, because he got Wentz for us, right? He had the balls to move up to get Wentz, right, and make that happen, whereas other teams just sat there. I mean, we could be, you know, looking like, well, the Bears look decent at the moment, but you know what I'm saying. But, you know, but he took the initiative. He made it happen. Yes, he's missed on a couple, which we can maybe get to, I guess, a little bit later, but he can't help the injuries that have taken place. I guess you could argue Doug can't either, but I don't think he's drafted that badly. He's had a few misses, Sidney Jones being one of them. But yeah, I like Howie. He's just supposed to get the talent, which we have enough talent to win, right? Doug's job is to work with that talent, and he's supposed to be able to handle the cap, which we all know Howie's a wizard at that. So
yeah, I mean, we'll see now that COVID is going to tighten the cap a little bit. It'll be interesting to see Howie in this next coming year, where he has to get really creative. Yeah, I think overall done like a pretty solid job, but I think, you know, I mean, we're just lacking depth. It feels like in a lot of positions, we're getting older and they haven't really done enough to bring in new talent. The Jalen Hurts pick to me is still unforgivable. I do think Howie has a relationship with management, so I don't think he's going anywhere. Doug will be the, if things go really nuclear, Doug probably is the first to go of the Doug, Howie, Carson trio. And you're right. Doug and Carson are certainly tied together, but I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to bringing someone else in besides Howie, just to bring in someone that can really help out with the draft. And you know, there's supposedly guys that are in there that are like draft specialists that he listens to. And still it just feels like we're not getting anywhere with this team as far as like bringing in young guys, with the exception of a guy like Miles Sanders. That is one bright spot, getting him back. Of course, he started the game with a fumble last week, but overall, super optimistic about him. And that kind of can lead us to the Bengals game. But before we do, fun little hypothetical. What is what's one former Eagle out there? And the obvious being Dawkins, so we're not gonna let you guys use that. One former Eagle who could really rally this team and help them turn it around, either from play on the field that they would need or just mojo, whatever it is. Justin, I'll let you kick things off. Eagle not currently on the roster.
Sean, I hate to say this, it sounds so pessimistic, but there's not one right now. It's going to come from those guys in the locker room. They got to figure it out themselves and dig out of their own hole. I don't know how anybody could come into that locker room right now and rah-rah them back to a win. They got to do it themselves. I hate to say that. I wish there could be somebody else, but there's not, I don't think.
Well, Rob, since Justin's afraid to answer a purely hypothetical question, who would you take as a former Eagle that could rally this team?
Yeah, unlike Justin, I'm not going to dodge this one. So I'm actually going to go a little outside the box. I'm going to go with T.O. Only an Eagle for a short period of time. But look, we got to love the toughness the guy had. I mean, he went, you know, head to head with McNabb and, you know, did anyone ever fight back quicker from an injury and, to, you know, to play in that Super Bowl? You know, our team, you know, everyone on the team's injured. I think they could take a little of that mentality from him. And, you know, I just like the fire that he had. You can disagree with him and argue about things, but the guy played hard when he was on the field.
Yeah, for me, this is easy. A man by the name of Reggie White, the Minister of Defense, just someone who brought an insane amount in.
Oh, I didn't know we could go dead. I was thinking like somebody alive and well. I would.
He's a former Eagle. I mean, what do you want me to say? It's a hypothetical question, Justin.
I think hard about these, Sean. All right.
Justin, you just thought nobody was better than someone.
I mean, you could have went Seth Joyner.
There were a lot of like Westbrook, but then I thought Akers, and I was like, yeah, you don't want a kicker in there. Get out of here. Kicker?
You know?
Can't listen to the kicker.
Who looks at this team and go, you know what they need? The kicker is going to bring in some mojo. No, I mean, what the team is missing is mojo. They're missing mojo. They're missing juice. And you know, when things were really firing on all cylinders in 2017, guys were dancing, they were hanging out, they had their, you know, choreographed celebrations. There were multiple in-season baptisms in the hot tub and the cold tub. Like there's been no reports of any baptisms, and I think that's really hurt the mojo of the team. A guy like Reggie White, kind of just spoke soft and just destroyed offensive lines. We need some sort of juice, especially on the defensive side. Like one thing for the offense to be out of sync and not kind of hitting their stride. But really, if you're bringing some physicality, some intensity on the defensive side, defense hasn't created one turnover. There hasn't even been one hit where you're like, "Ooh, yeah!" Like no sort of juice or amp coming from that side. I do hope the offense eventually gets right. And perfect time to transition over to the Cincinnati Bengals coming to town. Bengals, of course, coming in 0-2 right now. They do have long rest. They played the Browns a previous Thursday night. And right now over at mybookie.ag, of course, presenting sponsor of the Sports Gambling Podcast and Podcast Network, use that promo code SGP for 100% deposit bonus. Right now, Bengals getting 4.5 points, +180 on the money line, total sitting at 47.5. Let's start breaking this game down. One thing we need to see on the defensive side, I'll get things going. It has to be turnovers. Like we just have to get some turnovers. We weren't able to turn over Dwayne Haskins. We weren't able to turn over Jared Goff. I mean, we just need a turnover just for the energy, again, something to get these guys excited on the defensive side of the ball. And certainly, you know, back the blame truck up to Wentz, Doug Howie, all those guys, but the defense needs to get some stops just to give the offense a little bit of confidence. Rob, what do you want to see out of this defense come Sunday? What's one thing we need to see?
I want to see Joe Burrow on the ground.
Yeah.
We got to get to him. We got to sack him. You know, I think Schwartz needs to get creative and bring up some blitzes. You know, person I will give a little credit to is Schwartz. He admitted he was wrong and he had a terrible game plan last week. And, you know, I never see Doug say that, but Schwartz, you know, whether he was taking it for the team or, you know, really that's what happened. At least he got up and that's what he said. So I think he's going to come back, have a much better game plan. And I think he's going to try to confuse this rookie and get some pressure on him. The worst nightmare that we could face this week, the absolute worst scenario, is that Joe Burrow plays well, lights us up, beats us, and Wentz looks awful again. I mean, we'll be hearing about that all week. Then, you know, how Joe Burrow is just a rock star and Wentz is a nobody. So that's the one thing we absolutely have to avoid.
Justin, what do you have to see from the defense this week?
Pressure. I was originally thought turnovers, but then I was like, you know what? What leads to turnover? What causes turnovers? And you know, that defensive line just needs to create pressure. You know, you got a rookie quarterback back there. Maybe we can get some from him, you know, and create some havoc back there. That's the number one thing. I think Rob pointed it out too, with just maybe a few more blitzes in key situations as well would be nice.
Yeah, and again, one rare bright spot is Darius Slay's play. He's done a good job of shutting down their number one, really limiting them. Didn't matter, you know, it didn't matter against the Rams as Higbee just went off and they were picked apart over the middle, and you know, linebackers couldn't cover shit. But I think Fletcher Cox, whether he plays or not, it looks like according to the latest injury news, looks like Fletcher Cox is trending to play. Again, I don't know how healthy he'll be, but Malik Jackson has been a rare bright spot. So when we're talking pressure, we're talking getting turnovers, him getting to the quarterback. We see that come Sunday, I'll be feeling a lot better. As far as the offensive side of the ball, I just don't see, now I'm probably going to jinx it, but I'm really expecting Miles Sanders to have a big game. Geno Atkins officially ruled out for the Bengals. They've struggled, and defensive tackle Mike Daniels looks like he didn't practice today on Friday. So I'd be surprised if he goes. And I mean, you saw what Cleveland was able to do as far as running the ball, setting things up with the play action. I mean, the offense that the Browns ran last Thursday night was very simplistic, but it's something that the Eagles have the talent to do and should be doing. But yeah, Miles Sanders should have a huge game. Bengals are leading the league in explosive run plays led up with 11, meaning plays over 10 yards. And I just think Sanders has to go off. I expect him to break one, if not two, and really get things going. And again, as far as Wentz's struggles, to me, like you look at the guy, like he's still a physical specimen. I think really all of his struggles are just in his head. So the optimist in me says if they can get the offense cooking, if he can, you know, get in a good throwing rhythm, that I think he can shake some of the timing and confidence issues that have plagued his season so far. And the Bengals defense really is the perfect get right situation. Their safety as well, Sean Williams, he limited in practice, so that helps them as well. Patani, what do you want to see about the offense this week?
You kind of hit on a lot. I thought it was one thing from the offense, but
well, it bled into, I mean, Miles Sanders, and then it just kind of bled into the Wentz confidence thing, which I really think that's what it is.
He just assumed you would punt Justin and just say nothing.
I was frustrated because you said exactly what I had. Confidence from Wentz. Yeah. From Carson is what I had. I think that's the number one thing we need to see is confidence from Carson. He missed a couple of key throws. And then he kind of forced it in certain areas. You know, that pass to Whiteside in the end zone was ill-advised. And then later on in the game, he had a shot at, I forget, I believe it was Goddard, and he didn't take it, or at least he didn't look his way when he should have. And that, it just seemed like his confidence was a little bit shattered at that point. And that's when I knew we weren't going to be coming back. If he can, you know, turn back into the old Carson somehow from last year, I'd be more than happy with that. I don't know.
Rob, anything we didn't hit on offensively that you want to see out there on Sunday?
Yeah, I just want to see one thing, zero turnovers. Yeah. I think if we have zero turnovers on offense, we win the game. You know, quite honestly, I don't care if Carson just plays as a game manager and throws 5-yard passes all day, you know, mixing in the run. I think they can win. You know, zero turnovers is the key on Sunday.
I like it. All right. While we're talking game, course, talking a little fantasy, DraftKings, and feel free if you're playing some DraftKings DFS, use our promo code SGP. Free shot at millions of dollars. Any fantasy players for the Eagles or for the Bengals? I know Rob, you congratulations, Rob, on your winning Rams bet from last week. Did they just pay you in Did they give you 30 pieces of silver, Judas? How does that work?
No idea what you're talking about.
Sorry, Rob, what are you going to say?
I was just going to say, sometimes you got to do what you got to do to motivate the team. And sometimes it doesn't work.
Wait, what's the name of the podcast? Die Hard.
Yes. I thought for a second, Jess was genuinely confused. I'll kick things off here with Jalen Reagor out. DeSean Jackson, I think obviously could be an interesting play, but I'm choosing to highlight Greg Ward here. He's only $3,400 at DraftKings, and you want to talk about Wentz finding his safety blanket, getting going. Doug claims that they're going to have to rely on JJ Arcega-Whiteside. I just don't see Wentz throwing him the ball. Greg Ward is only $3,400 in DraftKings. I think with the Reagor injury, I think he may have a decent PPR game. And again, $3,400 really cheap on DraftKings, considering the lowest amount for a player is 3,000. Justin, any DraftKings players you like this week for the Eagles or the Bengals?
Well, after Doug had mentioned, JJ, he really got my hopes up, because I have his jersey from last season, which didn't pan out well. And I wanted to put him down so bad, but you know what? I think even Carson is going to be my guy this week.
Ooh, nice.
I think it's going to be his coming out party. I want to still believe that he's elite. And if he is, this is the best time to get him. You can probably get him maybe a little bit cheaper, obviously, than in the past, based on the last two games. So I would go with Carson this week. I think he's going to go off finally.
Yeah. Carson Wentz right now over at DraftKings, only $5,800. Now, some of this I'm sure is because of the matchup, but Justin Herbert making his second career start is $5,900 against the Carolina Panthers. And then right next to Wentz, Mitchell Trubisky going up against the Falcons on the road at $5,700. Actually, I think Trubisky, that's kind of a fun DraftKings stack as well, with Allen Robinson, the Penn State guy. Rob, you're a Penn State guy. What are you going to roll the dice, Miles Sanders? What do you like here from a fantasy point of view for this Eagles offense, which hasn't generated a lot of points or fantasy activity so far this year?
You know, I'll be honest, I don't love anyone on the Eagles this week. If you're pinning me down someone on offense, I'd probably say Goddard. Honestly, I think the unit that has the potential to have the best week is just the defense. I think they're going to get after Burrow. And I think they're going to have a turnover or two.
That's actually that's a pretty interesting play, because on DraftKings right now, they're pretty cheap for a defense. They're listed at $2,800. And if you look at home defenses, the only defenses that are cheaper are the Giants, of course, going up against that banged up 49ers unit, and the Vikings, who have looked like dog shit. They're at home against Tennessee. you know, Minnesota's look pretty poor. Giants, as we know, horrifically suck. So those could be, I like the defense angle. That's kind of a sneaky play. And if you're doing DraftKings, it is a fun stack to stack the running back with the defense. So maybe a Miles Sanders Eagles defense stack could be in the future. Time for the Eagles nest. One player you're predicting that will step up and have a big game this week. Justin, you have the honors. Kick things off.
Oh, definitely Whiteside. I mean, come on, Doug said it himself. So I'm buying in. I'm buying all the Whiteside stock I can this week. He can't step any farther backward. So he's going to be able to step up this week, you know, catch quite a few passes, and he would be the guy. He's going to be the guy this week.
All right. Now, I mean, I would love to see any production out of a second round pick in the Howie Roseman era, but fingers crossed. Rob, what are you doing? Any who's in the nest? One player going to step up big.
Man, my wish is Wentz. I'm going to say this week Deshaun gets a TD. I'll go Deshaun.
I like that. I mean, with the safety trouble, and it was weird. They had so many things drawn up for him week one, then kind of got away from it week two. Rob, you got me thinking about the defense, how they need to do something. And you know what? I'm gonna go Malik Jackson. 2-sack game, maybe a strip sack. I think he could. This will be his first game as an Eagle where you're like, oh shit, all right, we got Malik Jackson. That was a good pickup. I think he steps up, has a big game, and has a big impact on the Bengals Eagles game here, and help us pull in a much needed W. I'll start things off with the final score predictions. Again, the total sitting at very low, well, relatively 47.5. I'm going to say Eagles 28, Bengals 20 points. So Eagles 28. Bengals 20, Eagles just help hit the over cover. It's not a amazing win, but it's a win where you're like, all right, at least we got a little bit of confidence, enough confidence to buy us hope going into the following week. Justin, what are your, what's your final score prediction?
Big one here. I told you Wentz is going to go off this week. So I'm going 40-16 Eagles. We're going to get some turnovers. Carson's going to go off. We're good.
All right. Wow, Rob,
I love it.
What do you got?
I do think the Eagles win. I'm not quite so optimistic as Justin as 40 points, but I'm going to say 27-9. I think the defense comes to play and Schwartz gets after Burrow and dials up a game plan that really limits their offense.
Yeah. And really, Burrow has a ton of confidence, but I could see that confidence backfiring and him trying to force some throws that he doesn't need to force. Before we get things out of here, I did have this on the rundown. You guys are chatting it up in the group text that I skipped over it. What is now, this is a fun off season hypothetical, and it's a hypothetical. So who knows if Justin will answer it, but if you could do one off season move, basically redo one off season move, either they're signing a guy, not signing a guy, what would you do differently? Justin?
Oh man, I think people aren't going to like me. So, we need a linebacker. I really like Kenneth Murray. I know he hasn't really been lighting it up right now, but still a rookie. And we obviously needed a linebacker. So, either I'd still take him maybe in the first round. Rhaegar, as great as he's looked, I mean, he's injured again. He's had to get surgery, so we're already losing him for, you know, quite a few weeks now. So maybe get him in the first, but definitely, and we can all agree that our second round pick would have been nice to change. So I would at the very least have taken a linebacker in the second round and not taken Hurts. So
yeah. No one's stoked about the Jalen Hurts pick, Rob, and probably including Jalen Hurts. He'd probably want to be on a team where they're happy that he may be on the field. And I mean, Doug, like crowbarring him into these like weird gadget plays where he's just, you know, working as a decoy. It's like, dude, we could have had a linebacker who would maybe be fast enough to cover Higbee. Instead, you just have a guy as a decoy. It's like, what the fuck?
Anybody with any team with a starting linebacker by the name of Gary, I mean, like, he shouldn't be a starting linebacker, obviously. Anyway, sorry.
Rob,
I cut in there.
Rob, off-season move you would redo.
Look, the Jalen Hurts is too easy, so I'm not even going to go there. But I'll say this, if Carson plays the way he has been, you know, for another 2 weeks, Jalen Hurts may become the most popular person in Philadelphia really quickly. With that stated, you know, the one move I think we missed out on that, you know, I still don't know what the team was thinking is Hopkins. You know, I make that trade for Hopkins any day of the week. I can't believe the Texans gave him up for what they gave him up for. I mean, you know, a running back who's, you know, reaching toward the end of his career. And I don't remember what the pick was, but it was nothing, you know, significant. I would have made that trade. I would have paid him and we would have had a stud wide receiver and we could have still drafted Rager and, you know, would have been set on offense.
Yeah, no, you watch that Arizona team. I thought it would take a little while for Hopkins and Kyler to get going, but they've really just, I mean, they've just looked dynamic, the offense. And you would have, I mean, you could have only imagined Wentz with Hopkins there. And that could have been a nice little, I mean, that just would have been sweet. I'm going to go. I would have loved for them to figure out a way to bring in Yannick Ngakoue and just really add some juice here. I mean, you know, we've already had Brandon Graham and Derek Barnett dealing with, you know, injuries and whatever, but maybe that could have been enough to get that pass rush going and, you know, get some sacks and get this defense off the field. I mean, there's a ton of things you could do on offense, but really the defense just needs to figure out how to get off the field and force some third downs and a dominant young pass rusher. You help a long-term weakness and you bring in someone super young, like if you get a stud like Yannick. So I would have done that as well. And what they ended up trading for him, I don't think was too insane. So Yannick would have been the move I would have done. All right. We said it all. Let's go. Birds coming up this Sunday. Thank you as always tuning into the Die Hard Eagles podcast. Throw us a 5-star review on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network feed. Make sure you check out the Sports Gambling Podcast as well. Week 3 picks are up. We had Bill Burr on. That was a really fun episode. I freaked out and did a rant in defense of Carson Wentz. So check that out as well. For the Die Hard Eagles podcast, I'm Sean, stacking the money green. Let it ride.